The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of the free gift of salvation that God offers to all who will believe. A simple statement such as that is increasingly misunderstood in America today. What exactly did Jesus do and why? And why do the answers to those questions really matter? And how can believers in Jesus Christ share their faith effectively? Joining me today are Preston and Kelly Condit to discuss their new books, I Have Some Good News, and By Which We Are Saved, Sharing the Gospel with Confidence. Stay tuned for our conversation next in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, Dolores said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
My friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Global Star Radio Network. That's gsradio.net. We're on Talk America Radio, talkamericaradio.us, Saturdays at 4 p.m., Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, prepperbroadcasting.com, Mondays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, I'm very blessed to be talking with Preston and Kelly today. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Preston is an ordained Southern Baptist minister, a graduate of Oklahoma Baptist University and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Kelly is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay with a degree in psychology and education, and a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with a Master of Science degree in educational psychology and clinical counseling. Wow, those are some credentials. Preston and Kelly, welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you, Mike, for
Thank
having
you.
Us on.
Well, it's my blessing. I've really enjoyed your books, by the way. You've written what I believe to be two very good primers, two very good resources for really for any ministry that's interested in training believers in the fundamentals of the gospel and how to overcome obstacles to sharing their faith. And by your own admission, the first book, I Have Some Good News, was really written for and to those who have questions about the gospel. So it's something that a believer can give to a non-believer that they're sharing their faith with, either a family member, friend, coworker, whatever the case might be. So I thought maybe we would begin by discussing that. I Have Some Good News, the gospel. Objections and answers, and I found that really a great addition to the book. Let me read for our listeners, and then we'll be off and running, folks. I want to read the table of contents from that because I thought these folks don't waste any time. They zero right in on the important things. So here is the table of contents. I'll just read it for you, folks, so I can give you an idea. The introduction is, what's the point? And by the way, I love the opening statement in your introduction. It says, we were both religious before we were Christian. What? I thought all religious people are Christians, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'll let you respond to that in a moment. So chapter one, the gospel by which we are saved. Chapter two, who he is. Chapter three, what he did. Chapter four, why I need it. Chapter five, how to get it. Chapter six, where to find it. And the conclusion, what the gospel isn't. Just in case there are any questions or confusion, what the gospel is not. And then you give an index of objections and page numbers. I thought that was a great format. What led you to do this anyway?
Well, we both have had a concern for, and from my part, Mike, I realized throughout our relationship, she helped me to see that I assumed too much. And I worked for an apologetics ministry for years, Watchman Fellowship. Yeah. So I was in pulpits all over the country, week in and week out. Youth summer camps and all this, but I started realizing as our relationship grew that I assumed too much in my preaching that even as an apologist, if people understood what I mean about, believing in Jesus or some of the common phrases, giving your life to Jesus, following Jesus, those kinds of things.
Yes.
And that was not presenting a clear gospel.
Yeah.
It wasn't presenting the gospel at all. It was kind of shortcuts we used to, and we assume, and, you know, and I assumed too much from that. And so, for me, that's where I came around. And then, you know, as Kelly and I talked through the years, she drew my attention to these verses, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And you know, Mike, this is the only place in the New Testament where each element of the gospel is mentioned, and it is called the gospel. This is the only place. So this should be, and is, what I present meant. This is the gospel by which we are saved. And so, from my perspective, I don't want folks to make the mistakes I've made.
Yeah.
And so, that's perspective.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And Kelly, Preston, you said Kelly brought that to your attention.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, let me tell you, it didn't do any favors for our relationship. I was playing this one string banjo called 1 Corinthians 15:1-4.
Mm hmm.
You know, he was in practically every, you know, pulp in the country, it seemed, traveling all the time. And so our dating got stretched out over years. And whenever he would come and visit me, we'd be back playing the one string banjo. And he thought, what does this counselor know, about anything? Because he was a seminary graduate and a respected minister. And then I would always be nitpicking on this with him.
Yeah.
But question was about the index. When I was working in a clinical setting, they called me the practical counselor. They couldn't get me really to be too theoretical. I always was looking for a practical way to help. And that was my idea for the book too, was I want this to be super easy to use. Yes. I want it to be so handy and so easy to use. And we joke that we're the only authors that tell people, you don't need to read the whole book. Just turn to the index in the back and pick a couple of topics that are interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a perfect point to make, because I've heard so many people over the years make that very same point, but they don't draw the conclusion that the two of you drew. That we make this point all the time about Christians having their own language. You know, we speak Christianese. And or churchianity or some kind of foreign language, and we understand most of the time what we mean by the things we say, but someone who has no background in the Bible, was not raised in a home that they were brought to church as children, they have no clue some of the phrases or the cliches or things that we just just state matter-of-factly and move on without any explanation. So I think that is a great point and a wonderful platform or foundation from which to write these books. So let's chat about I Have Some Good News, the Gospel. One of the things that that I hear from folks out in the culture, folks that I talk to that aren't saved, that are they're unchurched, is that they really don't have a good, clear picture of Jesus. They've got a lot of competing pictures. They might watch something on the History Channel. They might see something on Nat Geo. They might hear something occasionally on the radio, and even they might hear something or overhear something from a friend in a conversation, but they don't have a very clear picture of Jesus. Now, that's a problem in America with all of the churches and the gospel going out 24/7 on the airwaves. What do we need to do about that?
Well, I think on our side, Mike, is we need to be, we can't be clear enough on who Jesus is.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time in the culture, when you hear Jesus, usually people are using it as a cuss word.
Yes, that's true.
But I think in the churches, even a lot of believers really don't know what the Bible teaches about Jesus. I mean, you know, we joke from the pulpit, saying things like, well, can you give three verses on the deity of Jesus? Well, I think most evangelicals probably could not.
Mm. That's a sad commentary.
So that's why in the book here, that's one of the elements of the gospel, you know, it says there in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So very clear on who he is. Mm-hmm. He is the Old Testament Messiah. He was born of the Virgin, just as the Bible proclaims. He lived a sinless life. He died physically on the cross for our sins. He was buried on the third day. He physically, bodily rose from the dead. He's 100% man. He's 100% God. He's the only way of salvation. He's going to return someday.
Wow. Yeah. So, well, you just gave a gospel presentation right there in about, what was that, 30 seconds? 45 seconds, maybe?
What he just did was he just, from memory, probably quoted our new gospel tract. We just created a gospel tract that's a miniature of this book that has a page for who he is, a page for what he did, a page for why I need it, and so mm-hmm. on. And
beautiful.
We got, everybody can't give away a $10 book, you know?
Right.
And so, we wanted to have a miniature version so that people don't have to scratch their heads and think, gee, did I forget something? Did I forget to ask them about this? Oh my gosh, I didn't bring up the virgin birth. Mm-hmm. They'll have a little miniature that they can, you know, buy for 50 cents or so and be able to just hand out that little tract that has all these points. Because see, Preston and I came from completely different cultures. I lived in the North where everybody went to church and, you know, this is a generalization, but everybody went to church and nobody was born again.
Yes.
Very, very religious. Preston was in the Bible Belt where everybody went to church. Lots of people were born again. People knew what born again was. I never even heard of being born again until I was probably 30.
Mm. Wow.
And so that's why he says he made a lot of assumptions. His assumptions were that people understood. My assumptions were exactly the opposite. When I got saved, I started to think I was the only believer on the planet, except the person who led me to Christ.
Yeah.
And so
wow.
I got in the habit of asking lots and lots of questions. Well, what do you mean by that? Because, for example, just witnessing to my grandparents, I said, well, Grandma, what did Jesus do for you? And she's like, I don't know. What do you mean? You know,
oh,
you just
wow.
church.
Yeah.
And I thought, she's been sitting in a pew for 80 years and doesn't know what Jesus did for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that those two worlds came together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we realize there's just a lot of assumptions being made. And so your question, what do we need to do about it? We need to stop making assumptions. Mm-hmm. It's not doing anybody any favor to assume they understand the gospel, to assume they believe it, to assume anything, that they know who Jesus is or that they know they're sinners, just because they maybe were raised in a Christian home or go to church.
Yeah, yeah. And something occurred to me as you were speaking, Kelly, and Preston, you and I share a similar background. I have my education and training is in apologetics as well. And one of the things that occurred to me listening to Kelly is that in many instances, not all, of course, but in many instances, the apologetics task is geared more toward the intellectual, more toward answering objections in an intellectually satisfying way that can remove those. And of course, as Ravi Zacharias is fond of saying, apologetics is simply the effort it takes, the work that we put in, the ministry of removing every obstacle so that people can see the cross of Jesus Christ. So ultimately, you're trying to lead them to the gospel. But I think often we forget to just make it simple, because most people, they're not seeking those high-level intellectual answers. They're just seeking some frank conversation and some answers to things that puzzle or bother them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And one of the underlying things, of course, too, Mike, is that word gospel gets thrown around a lot today.
Yes, that's true.
And it's used so often in so many different ways that people have got to wonder, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And the Apostle Paul is very clear in this passage, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, what the gospel is. So when we say the gospel, that we're presenting the gospel, one thing we are very careful to do in the book, and it's a huge objective of the book, is to present the gospel clearly.
Yes.
And so we can't state that enough.
Yes.
And we want every Christian to be able to do that.
It was really a balance between being very plain and simple and clear and concise, while at the same time using the correct biblical terminology and not watering anything down. Any born-again person can be taught by the Holy Spirit to understand these scriptures. They don't need to be afraid of it. They don't need to think, well, I didn't go to seminary. I'm not a pastor. I can't learn what the word, you know,
propitiation
means, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
It's like, but propitiation is the very best word to use, you know, in some cases. So don't be afraid of the word. Yes. Learn what the word means. Get used to it. And we don't have to water things down, because we have the risk of not using God's actual word. And then the Holy Spirit, that may be a barrier to someone getting saved if we're just saying, like, follow Jesus, for example.
Yeah.
You know, well, live your life with Jesus. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, let's take our own advice here. We've been talking about not making assumptions. So let's not make any assumptions about who is listening to us right now. And let's answer some questions for listeners. What did the death of Christ on Calvary's cross accomplish? What did that do?
Well, it paid for our sin. Just, you know, Paul says that there in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Jesus died for our sins.
Yes.
So it's what he did.
Yes.
We know who he is. Well, this is what he did. His death. You remember the old song? I remember we used to sing it in the youth group. He paid a debt he did not owe.
Yes.
He paid my debt.
That's right.
So when he died on the cross, he was making the payment for sins. By the way, and we can't emphasize this enough either, it is sufficient. What he did is sufficient.
Yes. Amen.
Nothing else needs to be added to that.
Right.
It is perfectly sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah. There used to be a thing called debtor's prison. I don't know if there's a debtor's prison anywhere anymore, but I think a lot of people don't realize, even though God has given us a life and given us many, many choices, that doesn't mean he doesn't want things done a certain way. And because he created this universe and he created us and he owns everything, we're supposed to be doing things his way. And when we do not do things his way, we are literally in debt. We owe him something. We have wronged him. Just like if you wrong your neighbor, they can sue you for it, you know. If we have wronged God, we have to make it up. But we can't make it up. We already wronged him. We've already
Right.
all kinds of things wrong. It's too late. We can't turn back the clock and fix it. But an infinite person, Jesus Christ, God the Son, can fix it. He stepped into time, and he was an infinite payment for all the sins of all people. He was our substitute. He took our punishment. He went to debtor's prison for us.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a great lead in. And I always point people, I'm sure that you do as well, to Paul's letter to the Romans, because it touches on those very things, that all of us are born sinners, and that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. And he talks about that even. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all of these wonderful passages that tell mm-hmm. us what Christ accomplished on our behalf. And of course, again, and that's why I brought the Romans passages up. A lot of folks think, well, I haven't done anything. What have I ever done wrong? Why would Christ need to die for me? Well, the Bible explains that pretty clearly, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the other part of that, isn't it, Mike? People have to see they're sinners.
Yes.
As my youth minister would teach us, we're sinners in need of a Savior.
Yes.
And a Savior is someone who does something for you that you can't do for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, God telling us that we're sinners is part of the good news.
Can it?
Or if we did not know that, we wouldn't know we need Him.
Kelly and Preston, can it really be, though, can it really be this simple, that faith is all that it takes? Faith in what exactly?
Well, Mike, faith always has an object, right?
Yes.
So we want to put our faith in the correct object. I mean, we're talking about eternity.
Yeah, you have to believe in something.
Yes.
That's right.
It isn't wishful thinking.
Yeah, our culture today makes faith some kind of standalone, nebulous thing. It is not. The Greek word pistos is to be persuaded of something.
Yes.
In fact, Paul translates it in another place in his letters to be fully persuaded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is believing something. Well, with regard to salvation, it's believing the gospel. And the gospel is a message that Jesus died for your sins, which means you're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
You need to accept that fact first. You got to believe that. And Jesus died for your sin, was buried, and rose again. And that's the way of salvation. And the only access is through faith, by believing that. And it also important to point out too, Mike, we believe it for the purpose of salvation.
Yes.
And for that reason only.
Yes.
And so, I think when you're talking about faith, you've got to talk about what the object of the faith is.
Yes.
Yeah, the object of the faith and the purpose of the faith. It isn't just a, okay, yeah, I'll believe it just in case it's true. That's not being persuaded of something.
Right.
And it has to be only faith, because if it is not faith alone, then I am having to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what and how much and how many times? Yes. And I mean, then you get into a whole big mess of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not a gift.
Cool.
And if it's not a gift, if I think I have to do something, I'm rejecting the gift. I think it was Dave Hunt that said, people, I think you know who Dave Hunt is, Mike.
I sure do.
He used to say something like, if I was going to offer you a Monet painting and you said, gosh, I've always wanted a Monet painting, I'll give you a penny for it. Oh, what a ridiculous insult that would be to the person who wanted to give you a Monet. First of all, they wanted to give it to you as a gift. And second of all, a penny is a hideous exchange for a Monet. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to offer a penny to Jesus, some rotten little thing that we can do that's probably tainted with self-righteousness on top of everything. Like, well, I'm going to do something good for God.
Right.
I'm going to try to pay him back. And it's like, you can't. You need to just see that everything you do is filthy rags. Is that Isaiah 64:6?
Yes.
Your righteousnesses are filthy rags. The best things you can do are filthy rags compared to the work of the Son.
Well, and think of it in practical terms. Does anybody really think they can stand before God and tell him someday, you owe me something?
But Preston and Kelly, aren't there many, many paths to God?
No.
Not according to Jesus.
No. In fact, that illustration doesn't even work, Mike. All roads don't even lead to the same place. The illustration's not even good. But it's a good question. When you talk about faith, you've got to talk about the object of the faith, because that's right. The point.
Yeah. Why do you think, why do you think some people believe that, I mean, other than being lied to by Satan, some people believe that God is love and that he is so loving that he would never send anyone to hell. That is just so out of God's character to do something like that. But the fact is that judgment is coming, isn't it?
Yes.
I always say it won't be heaven if everybody's there.
That's right.
But seriously, that's a good question. It's a question we've heard many, many times. And love is not saying it's okay to do anything, that we can just ignore all this evil and wickedness and sin and self-righteousness and everything else. Right. That's not love. You wouldn't think a parent was loving their child if they said, I just let him do whatever he wants. Right. So, now we do have liberty. We do have we believe that we have a free will, that we can choose to do good things. We can choose to do wicked things. But in regard to salvation, Jesus Christ already paid. Mm-hmm. He already gave a perfect sacrifice. So, if somebody rejects that sacrifice, then they're the ones telling God they don't want to go to heaven. God doesn't want to send anyone to heaven. He didn't send his Son down here so people could end up in hell anyway.
That's right.
He wants everybody. He stepped into history. He stepped into time. He, you know, took on humanity to be a substitute for us. That was the love. He loved us in Christ. That's where the love of God is accessed, is in Christ. It isn't a mushy emotion. It was an act that provided something, but we all have the right to refuse it. That's because if you go to heaven at gunpoint, you're not going to enjoy it anyway. So people have to decide, you know, that they are open and let the Holy Spirit minister that truth of the gospel to them.
And Mike, God is also just. You know, he means what he says, and he says what he means. If he says this is the way salvation's done, then that's how it's going to be done.
Yes.
And that is how it is done. Otherwise, it'd be like a judge. If a judge just let people off the hook, what do we call that? Well, we call that corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well,
you know, if the law states one thing and the judge just says, oh, no, you know, so what if it's written? You know, God's not like that. He is just, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Except for all the people on Bongo Bongo, so far away they've never heard.
Yes.
They've never heard the gospel. They couldn't possibly ever find out the gospel.
Right.
We've heard that a lot too, that, you know, God is so limited and so mean, he's not going to get the gospel to the people off in, you know, Nowhereville. And the people that are remote, they can hear the gospel too. If they mm-hmm. want to know who God is, he is going to send a missionary there. He is going to get the good news there. I don't doubt that one bit. People made it thousands of years ago across the Pacific Ocean mm-hmm. to Hawaii. I think they have traveled and communicated and been able to hear things and know things, mm-hmm. and they're not isolated on some, you know, remote place and never heard anything before. I think that just underestimates God and underestimates people.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I want to read a paragraph that you wrote, the chapter, What the Gospel Isn't. because we've talked about what the gospel is. So I want to be clear for our listeners what the gospel isn't, and then read this paragraph, and then we'll chat a little bit before we move on to the second book. But the paragraph is this: the gospel of Christ is not a formula or magic words that one can say to be saved. It is not a prayer, a decision, or a request. It is not a calling out for something or a coming forward for something. It is not turning from sin or a promise to sin less in the future. Neither is God's word a secondary source to confirm a sign or an experience. A person who imagines that he has become a believer because he has witnessed a miracle, for example, has only become a believer in a miracle. The gospel of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, is a particular message which we are to believe in order to receive the gift of salvation. It is nothing more and nothing less. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world, and according to the scriptures, attained by faith alone, through the power of God's grace. We find it comforting that God wants us to know him because of his love for us, and that he wants us to do things his way because of his desire to protect us. The Bible teaches that the meaning of life is to know him. We are now trying to learn all that he has already done for us so that we can enjoy his kind provision for those who believe him. We hope that you will soon be doing the same. What a great way to end a book on what the gospel is by reminding people, after you've already explained it in great detail, reminding people what it isn't. So don't, all of these false beliefs and false thoughts about and ideas about what you thought the gospel was, we just explained it, what it really is. And it's all about Jesus and him crucified, isn't it?
That's right. That's it. And we do want to be clear on, it's important you're talking about what the gospel is, to remind people what it is not.
I heard a message preached about 1 year after I got saved on what the gospel isn't. And that was when I realized that I was saved. I had prayed a prayer in college and was told I was saved because I prayed that prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had not changed my mind about anything. I did not believe the Bible was true. I did not believe Jesus was the only way of salvation. I believed I was a good person. I believed all kinds of crazy stuff besides. But I thought I was a Christian and I was very religious. And many years later, the lights went on. I believe that it is not purely an act of human will to believe the gospel. I believe the Holy Spirit is working on us, you know, convicting us of sin and illuminating us to the truth of the gospel, calling us through the gospel. And I sat in church and I'd probably, who knows how many times I heard the gospel. It could have been many times.
Mm-hmm.
But one day that light went on and I didn't know it. I knew I believed differently. I knew I changed my mind about things. I knew I even felt differently about things, even though I wouldn't say, oh, if you feel different, that's a sign you're saved. I don't mean it like that at all. But looking back, I can look at myself and see these things that changed in me. And then that year later, I heard this message on what the gospel isn't. And that was when I said, oh my gosh, I've only been saved for a year. That's when I changed my mind about all these things. This is when I actually believed what this pastor just said. And that was the beginning of making sure, because I even witnessed to people when I was unsaved.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, nobody asked me any questions. I wouldn't have been able to explain anything correctly. But I was so religious. I could say Jesus died for my sins. I could say that much. And I, you know, had everyone fooled. And when I realized, wow, that other stuff that I did when I didn't even believe these things, that was nothing. That didn't do a thing for me. And that really shocked me because I thought I was heaven bound all along and I hadn't been. And that's when I really became convinced I had to ask people more questions. And that's when I went home and asked my grandparents, what do you really believe?
Yeah.
You know, their church believed, that water baptism saved. And I did not believe that any longer at that point. And, you know, I was scared for my grandparents. I wanted to make sure, I knew. I just assumed what they believed.
Well, and that's the whole point there, Mike. We just talked a little bit. We started off talking about the object of faith. Well, we don't want people's object of their faith to be these things we mentioned there in the conclusion. So it's important to talk about what the gospel is not for that very reason.
Yes. Because we have heard people say, I decided to follow Jesus, or I prayed that prayer, or I went forward at the altar call. Mm-hmm. I gave my life to Jesus. Yeah. I remember that same pastor saying, Jesus doesn't want your garbage can. Mm-hmm. He wants to live his life through you.
and my youth minister used to say, eternity is a long time, and eternity is too long to be wrong.
Yes, amen.
So, it's important to show what it is not, because people need to realize what they're putting their faith in.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a message there, Kelly and Preston. I think that's a message to ministry leaders, Bible teachers, pastors, anyone who stands before a body of believers, whether it's a church or a seminar, conference, meeting of any type. Be sure that you're presenting the true gospel, and that people clearly understand what it is that you're saying. And this brings us full circle, because it's so easy to become lazy with our language and revert back to churchianity or Christianese and assume that people understand what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Well, let's transition over to By Which We Are Saved, Sharing the Gospel with Confidence. And by the way, let me just say that these books are available at Sufficient Word Publishing. Would you like to give that website, Preston and Kelly? And Kelly, you also you mentioned the gospel tract that you're working on. So please share a little bit about that before we talk about this next book.
Yes, both books are available at sufficientwordpublishing.com. That's sufficientwordpublishing.com. You can click on the books and order them right from there. They're also available on Amazon.
And they're available anywhere books are sold. We're not famous. We're not in the bookstores. But if you go to your favorite local bookstore, you can ask for these titles, By Which We Are Saved, or I Have Some Good News, and they can be ordered. The gospel tract, just email us at the website address. There's a button you can click to email us or to contact us on the contact page. We wanted the address to be really long and hard to remember. It's publisher at sufficientwordpublishing.com. Just not real happy that was what I picked, but... I said, you're not supposed to pick info or you'll get all this junk mail. So.
That's a fact. Yes.
And let me say this too. My heart really is for the church. And we've been talking about how these books are written to the individual, really. Mm-hmm. But I think they really lend themselves well to a Sunday school class or a small group.
Absolutely.
We've got pastor friends who are picking it up and teaching it on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights.
Yes.
And so it's not just an individual resource, but it's something you can use for your church, your Sunday school class, or small group.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really encourage that.
Yes.
Because the practical layout, just it divides nicely into, you know, you could teach it by chapter, or you could teach it by topic. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you a lot of options. One pastor said, wow, I've got 50 weeks of sermon prep done.
Yeah, yeah. He's having me come preach Sunday morning, and then that's going to be his Sunday night sermon series for, you know, a month or two or three months probably.
There you go. That's awesome.
Also, I wanted to say as a side note, since you asked about ordering books, thank you for that.
Sure.
There's a particular book retailer that is almost a monopoly now, and they run... they run our e-store, our online store, and they are phasing that out so that everybody has to buy from this giant retailer. So that's going to eliminate our ability to put discounts in our e-store. So we just ask people to just email us directly. Just go to our website, email us, and let us ship the books to you, because then we can give you a discount, because that discount is going to go away for bulk orders.
Yeah, if you're ordering for your church or your Sunday school class, send us an email. It's going to be better for you that way.
Okay. Sufficientwordpublishing.com. You can go there and order and get that discount. That's order from them anyway, guys. Just go to the website and order from them. That makes it much easier. By which we are saved, sharing the gospel with confidence. It quite frankly, it's an evangelism handbook. As I read it and looked it over, I thought, well, this would be a good book, folks, to, and Preston and Kelly's already said this, this would be a good book to take to your pastor, take to your church, and say, hey, this will help folks to get over their phobia of sharing their faith. And I say that in all sincerity. I don't understand why people are fearful about that, but they simply are, and I don't get it. Is that an overstatement, Kelly or Preston, do you think?
No. It's kind of like public speaking, I think. You know, people are afraid of public speaking, and this is very similar, that you're bringing up a topic that might cause someone to be upset with you, mm-hmm. or to ask you a question that you don't know the answer to, and then you're embarrassed, or, you know, you're saying you're a Christian, but I don't know the answer, and now I feel like I've lost my legitimacy as a witness. There's so many ways for the enemy to attack the mind of the believer to make them feel intimidated or inadequate or fearful. We don't blame them for that. We've been there ourselves. So we wanted to make it so easy, so easy to witness, because we just ask people to ask other people any question. We don't care what the question is. Any mm-hmm. Bible-related question, anything about God, about Jesus. Hey, I was just wondering what you think of the Bible. Do you mind if I ask you what you think of the Bible? Just something simple and basic. Oh, I was just wondering, you know, if you ever want to talk about it, let me know. Because at some point in life, everybody has some kind of a question related to God. Why did this happen? Why did so-and-so get sick? Why did someone die? How do I know where I'm going, you know, after I die? These questions come up in life.
Yes.
And we wanted not only to have simple, easy answers, but the verses are all written out so that you don't have to know everything. You don't, as a Christian, you don't have to have memorized everything. I'm horrible at memorizing, so I've just never been good at it. I don't want to have to try to memorize a lot of stuff, although I do work to memorize scripture, but it's a lot of work for me for some reason. And this way you can just open the book and say, hey, you know, I know that this happened to you and maybe you've been wondering, and I just wanted to show you the scripture if you don't mind. And you can just show them the scripture and let the Holy Spirit work on them using that truth. And you don't have to have all these answers or give a big, huge presentation that becomes awkward.
Yeah.
It's simple, short, easy. You don't have to learn a system. You just show a scripture. We just mm-hmm. want people to show scripture to people. Yeah.
And this is the other reason too, Mike, I say it's good for groups, because the Bible verses are right in the book.
Perfect.
You know, that really helps when it comes to prep time.
Yes.
It's thorough. I mean, I think you go through it. We've gotten just about every verse on each of those questions. I think we got everything. So there's, you know, a couple of practical uses there.
Yes, yeah. One of the things I like to remind people, too, that say they're somewhat anxious about sharing their faith is I remind them, listen, you've already said it, and that's what brought it to mind, is you don't need to do any prep, first of all. Because, number one, the Lord Jesus has already promised that in those moments of time when you need to give a word of testimony for him, he's going to provide the words for you to speak to begin with. So don't fret about that. But the other thing is, you're testifying to the Lord Jesus or sharing your faith. It simply is, it's your story about what God has done in your life. And that can flow out of the most innocent conversation. You could be talking about anything with a family member, a coworker, or a neighbor. You could be talking about politics, I mean, just anything, and the door will swing wide open, and I know some folks have experienced that, where you just see an opportunity, it's opening right in front of your eyes, for you to just share a word about Jesus. That's all it takes, is just speaking up for Jesus, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can think of just sitting in a restaurant and the waiter saying something about the weather and saying, I know God gave us, this beautiful change of season. By the way, would you mind if I asked you, do you believe in God?
Perfect.
I mean, any little thing can be a doorway. And when you have when any Christian looks in the back of this book and sees the objections in the back, it is going to turn on lights for them to so many opportunities. And now they'll recognize those opportunities. The Holy Spirit will prick them and say, hey, that's an objection to the gospel. And they can just turn to that page and show the scriptures. And that's
the index of objection she's talking about there,
yes.
Mike.
Yes.
That's really what makes it a handbook, along with the verses being in the text. Because like we say, we were just counseling a couple yesterday and said, hey, read through the index and find what interests you, which were, whatever your hang up might be, read that and see what the Bible says about it.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you're sharing your faith, that's what you're doing. Whatever their hang up is, go back to the index, find it. You're ready to talk to them.
Yeah.
When we ordered the sample of this book, we were volunteering at a shelter, and this boy, he was probably, 10 years old maybe. Mm-hmm. He heard us talking about the book, and he really wanted a copy. So we gave him a copy, and the next time we saw him, he had been on the bus with the book. He said, I've heard kids say stuff like this, because kids on the bus knew he was a Christian. He had heard other children say, Jesus isn't God, or, something like that. And so this kid brought the book on the bus and was using the verses and witnessing to the other kids on the bus. I mean, we were so excited.
Yeah.
We didn't even have the book finished yet, and we gave him this, early sample.
Amen.
And we were so excited that a 10-year-old was using it. And shortly thereafter, we heard a young high school girl was witnessing to her boyfriend using the book. And, it was easy enough that teenagers and preteens were using it. And it was just so, we were so blessed.
Oh,
it was
absolutely. You had to have been.
We were, we were on Jared Kressman's show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Through the black.
Yeah.
And we got a note from him, a few weeks, a couple months later, one of the listeners to the show, one of the viewers, sent him a message and said, thanks for showing me that book. I never understood grace till I read that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's such a blessing. Oh, my
how
gosh.
Exciting. How exciting.
Seventh-day Adventism, and there's no grace there, as you know. So for him to see grace is, for anyone to see grace is just amazing, as the hymn says.
Yes, amen.
So we are excited to see some stories coming in about.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, well, I got one other thing I wanted to bring up before we talk about a story, because you end your book with the concluding chapter, it is God who saves. Now, that was something that I learned very early on in my Christian walk when I was learning the importance of sharing my faith. I remember a pastor, dear pastor that mentored me, said, listen, you need to understand that what is required of you is to be obedient, to open your mouth and speak those words the Lord has given you to speak to that individual seated in front of you. But it is God who saves. It is God who does the saving. That's not up to you. That's up to the Lord. And what a tremendous burden for me personally, because and the reason I say this is this, Kelly and Preston, because over the years I've come across people who they seem to keep a tally chart if you know what I'm talking about. They keep a count of the number of people that quote unquote they've brought to the Lord. And that's always bothered me. We should give a testimony, a witness to the Lord Jesus every opportunity that we have. But carving a notch in our gun belt because we've got another one, that seems to me to be of the flesh and not of the Spirit. And so I really appreciate what you wrote in this conclusion. It is God who saves. That is God's intention for everyone who will hear and believe the gospel, is that they will be saved.
Yeah, it kind of lets people off the hook, so to speak, because if you recall the example at the end of that chapter, we had witnessed to this woman for 20 years, and we just would leave, and we just want to beat our head against the wall that we could never make progress. All of a sudden, kaboom, one day, she believed after 20 years. I mean, you think, yeah, because it's not me. Mm-hmm. God knows. God wants her saved.
That was the illustration, Kelly. Ruthie. Just for our listeners' sake, could you just talk a little bit about Ruthie? You said you spent 20 years witnessing to her. I mean,
yeah.
You even detailed a conversation.
Yes. I mean, she was such a hard worker for God. She would make quilts for the homeless. She would. I mean, she did all these things for people, and I just can't believe it's not works. I can't believe I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. She said that over and over, and she'd always quote James. Mm-hmm. And trying to explain James to her when she's not born of the Spirit, she couldn't understand what I was saying anyway, but I would humor her and explain it again, you know, and Preston visited with me several times. Most of the time it was me by myself before I met him. But, it was funny, after I got married, she wanted Preston to tell her, like, he's the guy, he's the pastor. And she wanted Preston to tell her. Preston just said the same thing as me, and he didn't make any headway either.
Yeah.
But
she would always say the same thing. I just can't believe I don't have to do something.
Yeah. She couldn't believe. You know, you think you can just do whatever you want. No, that's not the point. It's already done. It's already done. It was done on the cross. It is finished, you know. And then she loved Jack Van Impe, and she wrote him a letter, and someone from Jack Van Impe's ministry answered her and said exactly the same thing we had. And she called me and said, come up here right away. And she was just at the end of her life. I mean, she died, I think, just a weeks later, and we got in the car and drove like crazy from Arkansas to Minnesota, and she said, I get it. It was him. He did it all.
Wow.
And we couldn't believe it.
Wow.
We
man. Yeah, that is awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And then you have at the end of that story, beautiful, beautiful verse of scripture, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a wonderful God we serve.
That's right. Yeah. We just had to keep looking to him, not to our efforts, not to, I've told this woman 50 times the same thing. You know, it's looking away from that, from the human frustration and the disappointment, and just be like, the Lord wants her saved, and we're going to trust him, and it happened. She wanted it all.
That's right.
She wouldn't have kept asking if she didn't want to know.
That's right.
And the Lord was dealing with her all the time.
Yes.
And she believed it's God who saves.
Yes. Amen.
We talked minutes ago. And thank you for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Preston, Kelly, it's been a joy to talk to you. I've really been blessed hearing you. And I'm wondering if you have any new projects that you're working on you might want to share with our listeners, things they can look forward to.
Yes, we do.
Awesome.
We are making a handbook for spiritual warfare.
Oh, nice. Great.
So we want to have something just as handy and easy to use for spiritual warfare as for witnessing. We started working on a workbook, and we are making progress on a workbook related to By Which We Are Saved, but it's not going to be available to the public. It's going to be only available when people have us come and do evangelism training, which we've started to do now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's going to be kind of just a thing, like if we're there, then we will use that workbook. But for the public, yeah, our evangelism handbook is in the works. We've got two chapters finished. Spiritual Warfare Handbook, and we're excited about it. I wanted to hurry up and get started on the cover. That's the fun, really fun.
you like the graphics, huh?
That's right. Yeah. It's like, you know, here I'll make a stereotype and say, you know, car salesmen say that women come and they pick out the car by the color, you know, and I like the cover of a book as much as the inside. So yes. We've been having fun with that.
Yes. Yeah. Now you mentioned that you are available to come and do conferences, seminars. Can people contact you through the website for that as well?
Yes.
Anything from me preaching in the church to us coming and doing the seminar.
Okay, great.
And we do public speaking. We do leadership training. We will do training for the entire body for evangelism. And Preston will come and do like a kickoff if you just want him to come and preach out of the pulpit. He'll kick off an evangelism focus.
Yeah, like some churches are using it in their Sunday schools and small groups. They ask me to come preach to kick that off for
them. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, and that's sufficientwordpublishing.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Folks, pay them a visit. Get these books. You won't be sorry that you did. And again, I think they'd be great resources, Bible teachers, ministry leaders, pastors, small home group studies. This would be a wonderful study. You want to win your neighborhood to Christ? Train your small group how to do that effectively. These books would be great for that. Preston and Kelly, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
God bless you both.
God bless you. Thank you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today.